Okay. All right, we're going to, I want to, this is not just for Stephanie who loves history, but a very important thing that I hope you picked up on through this course is that Christianity is rooted in history. It's what makes our religion, I hate to call it a religion, different from all others. Our God stepped into space and time. And when Jesus walked this earth for 3 years and then died and resurrected, he actually put us out on the limb in the sense that people can prove or disprove that our God was here. And obviously the proof is real and we can show that he is. He stepped into space and history. Now, I don't know if people think I emphasize that too much, but to me, God emphasizes it in his word, and I think he does it for a reason, because we need to realize when we're walking through life and getting up every morning and just living these days out on this earth and getting up and having to brush our teeth and drink our coffee and go to work, we got to remember God, the Lord, is the Lord of this terrestrial ball. Like, he's here with us, amen? And he's going to remake this earth. So it's important to keep it rooted in history because it truly is. And one thing that I want to note is when in this book, God Is Not One by Stephen Prothero, when he spoke of Islam, I found it interesting. One of his quotes is, "I found the Quran repetitive. I kept wishing for some sort of narrative arc. I strained for historical context. Still, there were elements I love." So what are the two things he thought were missing? Real history, historical context, okay? He strained for that. And he didn't see an overarching theme to the Quran. The Bible definitely has an overarching theme, amen? From Genesis to Revelation, the theme is salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the whole thing is rooted in actual history. And that warms my heart, because I live my life in real history. I live my life on this earth, and I'm glad to know that Jesus is the Lord of the earth. Okay? So I want us to turn to a few scriptures first, and then I want to show you. We're focusing on that phrase that we just read, that they will glorify God on the day he visits us. Can you wait for that day? Who's excited for the day when Jesus comes here and visits us, the day of his visitation? Okay, the reason we worship God as the God of history, one of the key verses we could go to is Psalm 121, verse 2. And if somebody's already there who wants to read it out loud for us. Okay, go ahead, Sharon. Amen. My help comes from the Lord. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And Revelation 22, verse 13, this tells us he's the God of geography. And Revelation 22:13, who has that and can read it out loud? Go ahead. Thank you. He's the beginning and the end. So not only is he the God of geography, but he's the God of what? History. He's got time, you know, in his hands. So he's the God of geography and the God of history. And this, there is a devotion in my book, one of the ones that I love the most. It's called Tracing God's Heart on the Mount of Olives. And I bring out 3 points that the geographical location, the Mount of Olives, tells us about history. Okay? So the first thing I want you to realize is there is a place in the Middle East called the Mount of Olives. And I know that Denise and her husband have been there. She was not impressed by what has happened to it in terms of it's become the place where, you want to tell us real briefly? What did you see? You saw a cemetery, right? Right. So obviously this is a well-respected place, but I want to tell you, I love to think about the Mount of Olives, and I love to ponder what's going on in the Middle East, because when my Jesus returns, he's planting his feet. He's coming back to this earth. And he opened all of history over there in that Fertile Crescent over in the Middle East. That's where history began. And my friends, that is where history is going to end. It is very important. And it's very hopeful. One day what I did was I was preparing a message to speak in a church down in Manor. And God had laid it on my heart to speak about the Mount of Olives. And the three points of hope that we get from a geographical location. So I want you to think deeply with me for a minute. And the first place that I want you to turn, well, just reiterating, okay, so the Mount of Olives, it is an area, I think it's about 1 mile long. Let me double check my facts. Yeah, it's about a mile long, almost 3,000 feet above sea level. And it stands just to the right of Jerusalem. It's separated from Jerusalem by the Kidron Valley, and it's an actual mount that has three crests, okay? And it's over there. You can go visit it today. It's a geographical location. Now, what I want you to note about this place, let's first turn to Luke 21:37. You talk about the deep, deep love of Christ and what he has gone through for us. Luke 21:37. Just read it to yourselves and somebody raise your hand and tell me. After teaching all day long, what did Jesus do at the Mount of Olives many times? Let's just say he did on the Mount of Olives. He slept. Jesus would pour himself out. He would teach through the day. And at night, he would rest on the Mount of Olives. Isn't that interesting? It's most interesting to me because of Matthew 26:38. Now flip back and go to Matthew 26:38. And I'm going to ask somebody to read out loud verses 38 and 39. Who would like to read Matthew 26:38 and 39? This is Jesus speaking. Anyone want to read? Bob, you want to go ahead and read? Okay, this setting is the Garden of Gethsemane, located on the western slope of the Mount of Olives. Now, why I say that is this. As I wrote in the book, and I'm not going to say it as poetically as I wrote it in the devotion, but it just gets me. It gets my heart every time. So Jesus walks this earth for 3 years. And when he needs to sleep and rest, he goes to the Mount of Olives. And every time he goes there, he's able to close his eyes and sleep and rest, even though he knows that will be the place where he commences the greatest suffering. Can you imagine? He knows that is the place where he will go and fall on his face and sweat great drops of blood as he is arrested from that garden and taken to be crucified. Now, I don't know about you, but as people, don't we use places as markers or locations? You can drive back to a certain place or go to a certain place, and what goes into your mind? All kinds of memories. Amen? We mark places, don't we? Memorials, places. Well, can you imagine? Jesus is God, and he knows that that is the location he's going to go to and sweat drops of blood and feel overwhelmed to the point of death, and that's where he's going to begin the process of his arrest and crucifixion. But all those years before, as he was teaching, what did he do? He was able to go to that same place, lay his head down, and sleep. So the first thing that the Mount of Olives tells us as Christians, and let me read it because I have it in bold print in here, exactly what I got from this. The first thing about that point in geography is the Mount of Olives reminds us that we can rest in the midst of difficult circumstances and while facing an unknown future because God is in control. How could my Jesus fall asleep in that place when he knew it was coming in that very place? Because he knew the end game. He knew he'd suffer there, but he believed his Father and his plan was greater. Amen? Now, I want to tell you, sometimes we have to lay our heads down in a very difficult place, do we not? Sometimes physically, geographically, we're having to lay our heads down in a hospital bed. People have to lay their heads down in prison cells. Christians are being tortured and laying their heads down in who knows where in the world. And sometimes we lay our head down and we don't know what tomorrow holds. But the Mount of Olives reminds us that Jesus was teaching us an important principle. I can rest in the place of difficulty because I know God's plan is greater. Amen? So that's the first thing. When you trace God's heart through the Mount of Olives, I found it, when I discovered that, I found it so interesting. He would sleep there, but then he commenced his crucifixion there. Did you ever realize that before? So neat. Okay, now what I want you to do, let's go to our second point about the Mount of Olives. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And again, what we're emphasizing here to ourselves and to the generation behind us is Christianity is rooted in real geography and history. Okay? So we go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 9. Who would like to read 9 through 12? Any volunteers? Verses 9 through 12. You want to, Jeff? Amen. Okay, now look. This is also occurring on the Mount of Olives. Jesus took his disciples to the Mount of Olives, and he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And then in verse 9, after he tells them this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid them. He ascended into heaven from that same spot. Now, interesting, isn't it? Same spot he commenced his suffering from is the spot that he leaves this physical earth from. That is where my Lord's feet left this earth and went up into heaven, from the Mount of Olives. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly these angels in white stood beside them. Okay, so I just have to say, like I wrote it out in my devotion. I mean, I was thinking deeply about this. I was trying to put myself in the disciples' place. So Jesus comes. He tells them who he is. They're trying to grapple with that. When he goes to be crucified, they run away. They're still skittish. You know what I mean? What's really going on? Then finally, when he's resurrected, it hits them. Oh, yeah, he knew what he was talking about. You know what I mean? So now they're like really with him. So he appears to them after his resurrection and walks with them for 40 days. And they're finally, like, truly excited. He really did rise from the dead. This Jesus did know what he was talking about. He is the Son of God. And they're finally, like, all wound up about him. And he only stays for 40 days, takes them to the Mount of Olives, and right in front of their eyes, what's he do? He takes off. Seriously, now think about this, because these are people, you know? And if that were me, I think I would have been standing there going, this would have been me. What is up with you? What? Why are you leaving now? It's just getting good now, and now you're going. And they were probably, can you imagine the emotions? We just got attached to you. We just really got excited about you. What are you? Where are you going? And I can imagine their jaws were hanging open, and I find it so neat that God sends these two angels dressed in white, and they look at these guys. And notice their allusion also to geography again. They look at them and they say, men of Galilee, real men who live in a real little town, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here looking into the sky? Well, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like a rhetorical question. But listen, just let these words fall in your spirit. Listen to this. They said, This same Jesus who has been taken up into heaven is going to come back in the same way you've seen him leave. Let that fall on you and think about this. Not some other Jesus. Not some spiritual being. But this same Jesus with nail scars in his hand, the same Jesus that you were on the boat with, the same Jesus that spit to give a blind man sight, the same Jesus who walked with you, who hugged you, the same Jesus who just ate fish with you on the shore, this same Jesus is going to come back exactly as you saw him go. Not another, same one. Isn't that beautiful? So, from the Mount of Olives, we find out this is where Jesus leaves the world, and this is where we are assured that he is going to come back to the world. So point number two, the Mount of Olives reminds us that a very real Jesus is coming back to this earth to make a home of righteousness for us to enjoy with him in very real glorified bodies. Now that's what I like. When they said this same Jesus, they meant this Jesus in this body, his glorified body. He's coming back to remake our bodies so that this same Shelley Prindle, only made brand new, will sit in heaven with this same Bill Sarber, right? This same Shelley Prindle will fellowship with this same Sandy Luver. Like, it will be us. Is that cool or what? Isn't that neat? So now, one more point about the Mount of Olives. So he could rest, even though that's where his suffering commenced, because he knew God's plan was greater. He could see the future, that he was going to ascend from that location. And then finally, now I might start getting really excited and start to spit or something while I'm talking. You are going to love this. Go to the Old Testament book, towards the very end of the Old Testament. It's a tiny little book, Zechariah. If I had a young boy, if I had a baby boy, I would name him Zechariah. This is so cool. Okay, maybe not. Zechariah. Okay, now I know it's a strange book to turn to, but the Mount of Olives, boy, I'm telling you, that is a cool place to God. Go to Zechariah chapter 14, the last chapter. Let's see where we want to pick this up. I think I'm just going to start at one. It might bounce around a little bit, so let me read this. This is a prophecy of the end times. And what's happening here, sometime towards the end of history, we talk about the Battle of Armageddon and these end times, there's going to be a great battle that occurs. And all the forces of the devil himself are going to go to battle against the city of Jerusalem. Now remember, the Mount of Olives is separated by the Kidron Valley from the city of Jerusalem. And this is going to happen sometime in the future. Verse 1. A day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided among you. He's talking to Jerusalem. I will gather all the nations. Look at this. I will gather all the nations to where? To Jerusalem. To fight against it. This is going to happen. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. These evil nations of the world are going to come and they're going to attack God's chosen city. And half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Now, don't read ahead. Just let this sink in. There is coming a day in the end times when all the nations will gather against the city of Jerusalem. And a terrible, terrible battle is going to ensue. That's real. But I literally, like, I have chills in my... Can you imagine? That's going to happen. But then the Lord is going to step up. Check this out. And he is going to fight against those nations. And I have a feeling that when God fights, he wins. Look at this. And on that day, now you're going to have to read this with me. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two, from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half of the mountain moving south, and you will flee by my mountain valley. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. And on that day there will be no light, no cold or frost. It will be a unique day. And he goes on to describe that day. And I want you to go down with me to verse 11. The city then will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed. Jerusalem will be secured. How does God deliver his people on the day of that battle? What does it say? By Jesus doing what? Touching his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will break in half, forming a great valley by which the people will be routed out. They will be able to escape through that valley. Any Bible scholars in here, what does that remind you of in the Old Testament? A parting of the Red Sea. Now, I'm not, you know, this is just my thoughts on it. I think it's a clear picture and allusion to what, you know, God is over all of history. He parted that Red Sea so that his people could get away. Amen? And even in the end times, he'll do whatever it takes. He's not going to part water this time. He's going to part a mountain, and his people will flee. And if you look at verse 8, I kind of skipped over it, but look, on that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. There is coming a day when the Lord will be king over the whole earth. And where does it start? On the Mount of Olives. And so point number 3, the Mount of Olives reminds us that Jesus is in charge of this world and all of history. And he will provide the way of escape for his people and usher in his perfect kingdom. Do you think God likes the Mount of Olives? You think he's trying to say some things to us through the Mount of Olives? It's kind of cool to watch news and history as it goes on. And you know what's so cool about it? It would be really neat for us to take our kids and our grandkids and discuss the news with them and talk about that area and show them in the Bible what these places mean and what's going to happen. Because even though Denise wasn't really impressed with it, I still am. See, that's why I don't fly in a plane. I don't want to be unimpressed. But you can testify, it is there. There it is. And that's right. And that's awesome. Yeah, you could see it being split. So anyway, all this, when we go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, when the Bible said there, on the day he visits us, a lot of neat things are going to happen on that day. But I wanted to make sure that, you know, as this class comes to an end this evening, that we really get ground into our minds. Our God is Lord over the real world, over history and geography. And we can emphasize that to our kids, and we can hope in that. On the day he visits us, he's coming back to touch that Mount of Olives. Okay, now, we're going to go to this. We have time for this last concept that I want to really emphasize to you guys. And let me see here first.